your audio and video source featuring Indianapolis tech trends, marketing industry champions, and business innovation. This is Edge of Indy, broadcasting from Edge Media Studios. Let's get today's conversation started.
Okay, hey, we got a powerful show for you today. Welcome to Edge of Indy. Let me tell you what Edge of Indy is about. If you haven't checked in already, and shame on you if you haven't. I'm just going to say that right now, right? We're focusing on local businesses, local entrepreneurs and innovators. What's moving and shaking here in Indianapolis? Focusing on great business growth, creative agencies, the tech scene. Culturally, what's happening in Indianapolis that we want to make you aware of that you should know about? For the sheer fact, we should be choosing local all the time as much as possible and bringing business back to Indianapolis. So that's what this show is all about. So you can check us out at edgeofindy.com. Thanks for joining us on our live stream. Let me introduce our guest here today. It's she. That's my first and only mistake today.
It's good. It's all fine. It's just fine.
Her name is Andrea Cowley, Associate Director of Dress for Success Indianapolis. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful, thanks.
Fantastic. And yeah, we also have, on my right hand, we have Brittany Harness, who is a digital marketing strategist here at Site Strategic. So welcome, ladies. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hello.
Hello. All right. Dressing for Success. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to do the show with us today. I understand that you have an identical twin someplace.
I do. I have a super creepy identical twin.
how do we know that you're the real Andrea?
That's my question. Isn't that horrible? You don't.
Huh. Did anybody check this before we went live? Just wondering. So you have an identical twin.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She actually is the one that introduced me to Dress for Success.
Fantastic.
When we were younger, I just was so happy after we graduated from college. She had her own thing that it wasn't part of, like, you know, being a twin, or she had her own identity, and then I stole it from her.
Oh.
I got a job there, and I've been there for over 11 years now.
So let's unpack it. What is Dress for Success?
Sure. Dress for Success is an organization that helps empower women to compete in the workforce, uh-huh, be economically self-sufficient. So most people know us for the suits that we provide women right before they have interviews, but we also have programs that help women keep their jobs and really focus on employment retention
and
getting better jobs and succeeding in their career and their lives. And then we also have a program that helps women prepare for employment and find employment that kind of works for their situation.
That's fantastic. So the overall mission is and this is exclusively Indianapolis based?
No, absolutely not. We're actually a global organization that started about 20 years ago. It's the 20th anniversary of Dress for Success as a movement. So we're one of over 125 Dress for Success affiliates, uh-huh, in 23 different countries. And what I think is cool about that is the same model that works in Indianapolis, you know, works all over New Zealand and South Korea and Eastern and Western Europe. So in total, they've helped over a million women. And it's just kind of this whole really grassroots movement. And Indianapolis is really lucky to have like a very strong affiliate chapter here. So
grassroots global.
Right. Yeah. Same thing.
But it truly global is grass.
Global grass.
Globally grassroots. Yeah.
One of your major initiatives is ensuring that underprivileged women have access to business attire for interviews and career opportunities. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you come across I Am Chosen before?
No.
We've got to connect them. Earlier in one of our old shows, we actually, there's a mission here in Indianapolis that's going out and be able to reach underprivileged women, single women that are needing to get into the workforce. So, my gosh.
We should totally talk.
Absolutely.
I would love to hear more about what they're doing. That's great.
Kind of things are just wonderful.
You'd be friends with her, too. She's nice.
Awesome. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
So,
it's way better when you like people.
So you're actually training women on how to dress for success, how to actually wear what kind of business attire at interviews. Are you also professionally training them on how to respond and how to communicate during these interviews and beyond?
Sure, absolutely. I think communication, especially what we call like the hidden rules of work, becomes
absolutely
super important. And a lot about that is like how you hold yourself, your body language, but then also how you communicate with people. So we do a lot of kind of soft skills training. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about how to, you know, ask your boss for a raise, how to receive feedback. And what we do that's unique, I think, in those programs, mm-hmm, is that we're going to be the experts at what we're good at, but we have all this entire community that is just so good at all these things.
Sure.
So what we do, especially for like, you know, conflict resolution, we bring in like the Peace Learning Center out at Eagle Creek. Huh. And so they, you know, they're the experts at that. I'm not going to find a volunteer who's better than John, our guy from Peace Learning Center. So we get to bring in all these amazing community partners and volunteers that our women actually learn from the experts in their fields.
Well,
so I think
fantastic.
That
kind of,
yeah, sets us a little apart.
So you're bringing a lot of resources to bear, and almost all of these, if not all of these external resources, are also providing this free of charge?
Absolutely. Everything that we do at Dress for Success is free for our women.
That's fantastic.
And then also the agencies that refer them. And I think what makes Dress for Success a little bit different in that regard is that we're 100% philanthropically funded. Mm-hmm. So all this amazing work that we get to do in Indianapolis for the women of Central Indiana is, you know, comes from our community, comes from that grassroots connection of businesses and foundations and people here that make our work possible. So
now we certainly want to give a shout out to those participating agencies. But before anything else, can you describe to me what, give me the description of an empowered woman.
Right. We believe that an empowered woman is an asset to herself, mm-hmm. her family, her community, and her world. And so that woman for us is once you touch that woman's life, it just goes on and on and on. So what we need to realize is that the women that we're helping, you know, aren't necessarily all like what we think of like generationally in poverty.
Right.
We're helping women who are just unfortunately unemployed and maybe don't have the skills to get a better job or don't have the money to buy a suit. Like, we're helping people who are our neighbors and our friends and our community members. So whatever we can do to buoy her in that journey mm-hmm. is going to benefit all of us, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You create a ripple effect that's connecting so many other businesses and a lot of companies that don't even realize what you're doing so much as who you've empowered to be able to empower them, right?
Absolutely, and that's what's great about Indy too. You know, you talk about this, you know, revitalizing business and and that part of the mission of what you're doing,
right?
It's also a part of mission what we're doing. So we get a lot of interest from different employers that are interested in hiring our women. Mm-hmm. So how cool is that? That you can go from maybe a corporate sponsor to actually going, hey, I want to learn more. And oh my gosh, these people are actually people that I could hire and promote within my own company.
Right.
So
right.
It's just kind of a neat connection how that kind of plays out for Dress for Success.
So I mean, so the concept of and I've heard it so many times before. You dress to your level of success. Dress to
the degree
of who you want to be, right?
Right. Yeah.
How critical is that for anybody's psyche to be able to be able to stand up and be able to look yourself in the mirror and be able to see the person that you want to be, that you're envisioning? There's so many dimensions. The outer context is one thing, but how do you help in the inner context to make sure that they're as empowered internally as you are empowering them with the professional clothing?
Sure. We have over 100 women who volunteer with us on a monthly basis, and their entire job, I think it's the coolest volunteer opportunity in the entire world, and I'm not going to, you know, maybe impartial, I am. But what they do is they're called personal shoppers. So these women are our trained volunteers, and they get matched up one-on-one with a woman when
oh
she comes
gosh.
In. And so women often don't know what they're expecting when they come to Dress for Success.
Oh, right.
Might have heard of it, or I'm being sent to this place. And then they come to our office, and it's gorgeous, and we literally have this wonderful woman set up who's this great volunteer who's going to be encouraging you the entire appointment, and they build a bond. And then they go shop, and we have a boutique, like a store set up in our office, and it's gorgeous. Like, I would shop there. So they get to shop during that whole hour, kind of building her confidence. And really, our volunteers focus on not where maybe you've been,
right,
but where you're going. Yeah. Right. And so
there's very few people ever who have had that level of personal attention for that type of not only grooming, but also diving into what their tastes are and be able to explore that in a safe environment. That's
right.
What you're providing, right?
Absolutely. And the women that we serve are generally single moms, right? So
like a judgment-free environment. That's what I was meaning.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's a judgment-free zone. I think, you know, especially when you're a woman and you're picking out clothes with someone who doesn't look like you or know you, or, you know, it could be awful.
Right.
But it doesn't. It turns into this, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this, too. Oh, my gosh, I never want to leave, you know? And that's really what we want to do is we want to kind of ignite that spark of,
that's
like,
cool.
Excitement, what's going on in your life, how can we be a part of it going, you know, forward, how can we get you into our other programs to kind of move the needle in the rest of your life. And then
you think about how
job.
Much that volunteer must be getting out of that too. Not only is that individual getting all this attention and, you know, all of this care provided to them, but that volunteer has to feel so good about what they're doing, what they're providing that person. It just has to be like a little love fest in that room.
I mean, for that hour, it's kind of awesome.
To be like, no, you're so great. No, you're so great. Like, it has to be a really good environment to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. My office actually is right on the boutique, and so I get to hear that all the time. So I get to hear these volunteers having these amazing interactions with people. And well, I think it would just really speak to the longevity of our volunteers, too. I have been with the organization almost 11 years, and I have volunteers who have been with the organization since it was in the basement of a church on the Near East Side of Indy. You know, so they like to tell me about passing around a cell phone to like make appointments and, you know, really, really are super engaging, but they're still there. They're still every month suiting people. And I just looked up a woman the other day just to see how many people she'd impacted since she volunteered with us. And she's helped over 350 people.
Oh my God.
Wow. You know, to be able to like touch somebody's life like that. And, you know, I think it's an experience that most people remember, you know, pretty much forever. So.
Talk about the volunteers a little bit more. I mean, they are obviously the connection, the sinews of this entire organization, and there is such a warm embrace that I'm understanding as women are coming into your organization. You've got a lot of people that have been around for a long time. They're seeing so many people that they're helping go out. What type of relationship did they have after the person they were helping goes into the workforce? Are there bonds created that are continual for years after?
There can be, especially when we were smaller and it was a lot more intimate. Like right now we're seeing about 1,200 to 1,400 women a year.
Oh, wow.
Right. So it's harder for us to, you know, for people to have natural and relationships are organic, right?
Absolutely.
So we try to, you know, give people updates kind of where people are. And especially if people join our employment retention programming and, you know, that during that point, we will have much more interaction with them. So it's always fun at the end of the year to be like, hey, you know, and Duncan, you served, you know, 45 people, and this is how many of them are employed or came back to see us, and this is what we know about them. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you just don't want to blur the line of confidentiality.
Sure.
You spoke about the employment retention programming. Tell us about that area of the organization and what you're doing to make sure that you're not only sending these women out there with a good sense of themselves, but also being able to support them during their journey.
Yeah, it's really the heart of our organization. It's called Professional Women's Group, and so we call it PWG. And it's the coolest group of ladies. They have about 100 people who participate, 100 women who participate in a given year. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they go to evening meetings like you or I would at a networking group, right? And they stand up at the beginning and get to say a step they've made towards the success that last month. And then they share a meal, and then they have a speaker come in, and they focus on work-life balance, the written and unwritten rules of the workplace.
Sure.
Financial literacy, you know, healthy lifestyle. So you really look at everything that it takes to keep someone buoyed and successful.
Right.
And what's really special about that program is over 80% of the women that participate will keep their employment for more than a year.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So to say, hey, this is really going to help you keep it, it becomes really great. And we also have a program that helps women keep their job for the first 90 days. So to make it first through your first 90 days is also important.
I'm seeing so many parallels with the other organization that we met with earlier this year. The concept of not understanding some of these soft skills, right? Mm-hmm. And being, I mean, I kind of harken back to like the Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. Some of the things that you needed fundamentally to know that are just not being trained or not being educated on. At your early stages, are you able do you have a program that actually starts educating women earlier in their life to be able to give these type of skill sets before they have to come back around into their career and reorient themselves? Are you fostering some younger females that are coming into the workforce?
Yeah, absolutely. We love seeing younger women. And so what we really do is we look at all of our partnerships. We have over 115 organizations that refer women to us,
oh, wow,
to our programs. So within that mix is a good heady bunch of people serving 18 to 24 year olds. And I agree, like the further, you know, not everybody, you know, deserves success, but everybody deserves the chance to succeed.
Yeah, they need, and that's the thing is that there needs to be a foundational place to be able to launch from. And that's in you know, socioeconomic challenges prevent a level playing field in that space. So you're certainly earning your stripes there, because that education needs to be that anchor point for so many individuals. But you're doing this with, and this is a completely nonprofit organization,
right?
And you've got some incredible donations, donors, and networks of agencies and individuals that come to your assistance every year. Can you give a few shout outs to some of those in those brands or those organizations?
Sure, we have great support from all of the Central Indiana Community Foundation brands. They're a huge supporter of ours. The Women's Fund of Central Indiana actually gave us, our seed money to start Dress for Success in Indy. PNC is a huge supporter of Dress for Success. They annual giant fundraiser called Stepping Out in Style. That'll net over $205,000 for us this year, which is, that's a huge part of our budget. But PNC is a great supporter. RJE Business Interiors and Denny Sponsel, they're great supporters. We do a lot with Beetle Financial. She's a big supporter of Stepping Out in Style with Elaine Beetle. Also, Main Street is a huge supporter of Dress for Success in Indianapolis. Yeah, yeah. I could go on. Do you want me to keep going? Because I could.
Well, give us a few more. Because these companies, these organizations have bought in for long term with what you're doing. So they are the believers, obviously, in the entire mission, right?
Yeah, there's one really special one I kind of wanted to save for last. I'll tell you about it. Have you ever heard of Classic Cleaners?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Classic Cleaners has been a supporter of Dress for Success for over 12 years, both financially and through in-kind donations. Huh. They're amazing. Like, not only are they an employer that I would encourage any of our women to go work for, but they also, and this is awesome, they have they're getting ready, I think, to open their 21st location. And they accept suits and blouses every time they're open, give donors their receipts for those blouses, and then bring them down to our boutique a couple times a month. So they actually facilitate donations that we would not otherwise be able to get. And they're just incredible. So
that is fantastic. So you got to give a shout out like you just did, but we're also going to put this in the show notes after production of Classic Cleaners and tap them on the shoulder because you're also going to find, I'm sure you're seeing that there's so many companies that support you that don't toot their own horns about that. That's not what they're about.
Right.
They want to give back. Right. So it's our job in these type of shows to be able to let the people know, let the public know who is doing this. Right. It is absolutely Dress for Success, but it's all of these different organizations that help day in and day out. Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you receive no state or federal funding whatsoever.
No, not at all. So we like to make jokes that Barb, our executive director, and I like to walk around with our hands shaped like little cups, right? Are people who quit taking suits for payment, for their salaries a long time ago. So, to keep this important work going, we do a ton of fundraising to keep that happening.
Absolutely. So fundraisers, what fundraisers are coming up here soon?
Oh, we've got two good ones coming up this Sunday, April 23rd. Kenra Hair Products is currently located in Indianapolis, but they're pairing up with the salon called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang up in Carmel.
They do some really good hair coloring at Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Do they really?
Bang.
Well, it's all Kenra Hair Colors, and that's, started in Indianapolis, so that's another good, brand. But so what they're doing is incredibly generous. They're starting out with a $2,000 base donation.
Cool.
And then they're offering a free one of five free color services to the general public. And for every person who takes advantage of that, they'll donate $5 to us. So their goal is at least a $5,000 donation, which will be, those kind of things are no small things for us. So we're really excited and, want to kind of see how many people we'll see on Sunday.
Absolutely. So so how else can we get the word out about your different sponsors, your different different philanthropic organizations that help you? Because surreptitiously, you want to make sure that you're not surreptitiously, wrong word. You want to make sure tangentially that you can lift up everybody because they don't speak for themselves that often. They want to give, but at the same time, businesses that know of these philanthropic businesses should choose to do business with them. So
absolutely.
How else can we help you out in that respect?
Well, there's going to be, on May 18th, we are pairing up with another Hamilton County location. It's the first time we've ventured outside of downtown, so it's kind of interesting to be doing some things in Hamilton County because that's where most of our supporters are at. But we're going to pair up with Matt the Millers, and we're going to do a five-course chef dinner and wine dinner. So that's going to be able to generate some funding for us and be a fun night. We've asked some pretty, exclusive local chefs to be there. So all that information can be found on our website. It's really the best way to do it. So
I think really the best way to be able to shout to all of those donors to actually be at that event so we can really help them out.
What he's getting at is, will there be steak there?
They haven't chosen yet. If you want to come and buy tickets, we might consider it.
I'm thinking we certainly want to help you guys out, but also we could even do some social cover fire there and be able to shout out some of the brands there.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, and we definitely do it, especially around our large fundraiser. If you want to amplify those would be really beneficial for us.
Here's the word.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Gotcha. So do you find that Indianapolis is supportive for nonprofits?
It's incredible. Every year I get to go to an affiliate conference where all of these affiliates from all over the world come and join. And sometimes I feel like a little bit of a princess because people who are in smaller markets or even very large markets will be like, well, we just don't have that. And I'm like, can't you just go ask somebody for, and not everyone has those connections.
Yeah.
Not every community is as tuned in to what's going on and is as engaged as Indianapolis is. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just, just kind of we were talking about it earlier, unicorn city, right? Like, so these little things that happen that you're like, this is special.
It's like a really big small town.
Exactly.
It really is. No, you're absolutely right.
And the reason I have to tell people I'm an identical twin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Me too.
You just want to avoid people. It wasn't me, it was her.
Exactly, see?
Her again.
That's her doppelganger.
The crazy one.
It happens.
So you rely heavily on fundraising for organizations out there that might be struggling to generate, financial support. Can you give a tip or two on executing fundraising? Because you're obviously successful in doing that, right?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things is kind of talk about fundraising. And I think you look at fundraising more as friendraising, right? Like, there's got to be a return on investment on it for both sides.
Right.
So I always look into, every time I approach a business or we start talking about a new partnership, I want to understand what the business is going to get, but then I also want to make sure that it fits for what my mission is.
Mm-hmm.
And just be real clear and open about it. Like, there's no reason to hide talking about money or talking about benefits. I think that you know your own brand and what you can leverage, and they know what theirs is. So somewhere in the middle is probably a really good ground to start.
And it's okay to say no. If there's not alignment, there's not alignment. And you're absolutely right. Don't try to polish the apple. All right. Be able to figure each other out and figure out how you can help each other.
Find the middle.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. So additional tips for any organizations that are struggling. Anything?
I think nonprofits are businesses. At the very heart of it, every nonprofit, you have great work, but you're also a business.
Right.
So keeping that business open and keeping that business healthy and surrounding yourself with really great people, our volunteers and our board are phenomenal. So just being able to really kind of use and leverage the strengths and talents that are presented to you is really key to making anybody successful.
And we've come across in our history, we've had a good deal of dealings with nonprofits, and there is a struggle whenever you have a nonprofit that, you almost feel that you can't move people away that maybe aren't a right fit for what they're trying to do inside of that fundraiser, because everybody's caring, they want to help out. But if those skills aren't there,
right,
then this is a business and you got to show them the door. I hate to be callous like that.
Possible.
In the nicest way possible.
You mean escort them to the door. Nice.
Why don't you
go fundraise
over there?
But I think it is. You do have to look at it like anything like that as a return on investment. And if I'm spending, 75 hours of my staff time to make $5.
Right.
That's not helping more women.
That's not a good ROI.
That's not a good ROI, and nobody else is getting a job from that, right? So, being able to really choose and be super focused on all the millions of things that you do at one time as a small business.
So there it is. I mean, for organizations, you need to run it as a business. If you have nonprofit, it's not just that you have people there. They have to be able to move the numbers.
Yeah.
Well, it's fantastic to have you on board. And we'll certainly lift up and give you some shout outs here and see what we can do from a social media standpoint to connect with you in the future. The events, just to repeat, there's a Hair for Success, and literally hashtag Hair for Success. Right? I love it.
Creative.
It's very funny.
Yeah. April April 23rd, that's Sunday, right? From 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Kiss Kiss Bang Bang Salon in Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll certainly give them a shout as well, so they know you're coming, but we want to send a few people your way as well. And then you have the Spring Wine Dinner, that sounds fantastic, at Matt the Miller's in Carmel on May 18th, 6 to 8:30 p.m. Anything else in the rest of the year?
Our major annual fundraiser is Stepping Out in Style. We always hold it at the glorious JW Marriott downtown.
Oh, cool.
We love them. And then it'll be September 8th this year. It's a Friday night. It's a big reception fashion show.
Excellent.
Featuring some of our women and local boutiques. And then we'll wrap it up with a giant after party. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So to find you on social media, right? Search for Dress for Success Indianapolis on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And then we have on Twitter, IndyDFS. Mm-hmm. And the Instagram?
Instagram.
It is sometimes.
It's brand new.
It's brand new. Never saw that before. DFS Indy, right?
Yep.
So share those posts. Sharing is caring. We all know that. But really, I mean, you got to dig in and choose local and lift local as well. It's not just doing business, but also sharing what these great agencies and these great organizations are doing for the people of Indianapolis. I mean, for the women of Indianapolis and their longevity here and what they're providing is an incredible and valuable mentoring service as well, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Go check out their website at indianapolis.dressforsuccess.org. Any final words for maybe all the women that are listening out to this that are wanting to connect and be able to maybe come on board with your organization?
Yeah. You know, thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about something that I'm so passionate about. And I know that this is something that kind of hits the heart of every woman. So I think what we need to realize is if we band together and empower one another, that there's nothing but good going to come out of that. So I think everybody can find the way that they can help and the way that they can empower another person and walk forward in that journey. So
When you empower one, you have no idea who she's going to be able to reach. So it's really about extending yourself, making sure that you're investing in other people, and then hoping that they, you know, reciprocate and kind of spread the love.
Right. You got to start the ripple somewhere. So
the love train.
I like that one too.
Really? Love train. All right. I'll let that go. Well, thank you so much, Andrea. And hey, you check out everything over at those sites and check them out on social media. And we're very honored to be able to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
You're
we really appreciate
more
it.
Than well, more than welcome. All right. Coming up, we're going to take a break here real quick and bring in a body language expert here on the show. You've got to check this out because this is empowering to a whole nother degree. But before that, we actually had the chance to go up to Ball State University and be able to judge a social media competition of students that were coming from around the country to help be able to put together an entire social media plan and be able to compete. So we were there judging and doing keynote, and we actually put together a neat video that showed exactly who they were and what they were doing. So check this out.
So today is our social media competition. We're in the Department of Marketing, and CADMA stands for Center for Advancement of Digital Marketing and Analytics.
Part of our charter through our grant with Ball State University is that we provide different events. So one of the things that we looked at, a lot of universities and colleges, they have sales competitions and marketing strategy, but we're trying to get our name out there in terms of focused on digital marketing and analytics and social media. So we decided to create a social media competition.
So the main goal of the competition is to really promote that educational side of digital marketing and analytics. Right now that's really lacking all across the nation. And so that's really what we want to promote.
This year we have 8 schools. We reach out to several universities. Students have driven a long way or flew in from a long way to kind of present what they've learned and represent their schools and universities.
Every year it's based on a case, and it's going to be a real client case. So this year it was based on Precise Tooling Solutions.
We'll give them a template and ask them to put together a PowerPoint slide of the social media marketing plan and do a 5 to 10 minute video clip. So they'll do that, and then we'll review those, and then we'll select from the top ones to come and visit our university.
If they're invited to be a finalist, they'll have a situational response that nobody knows. They'll have 20 minutes to prepare, and then they'll have 7 minutes to present. And then they win award money at the end of it.
So the students certainly give them a chance to get in front and speak about, you know, what they know, learning, getting used to talking to audiences or being challenged in terms of being asked questions, those things. So the students certainly getting the chance to kind of communicate what they've learned in the classroom towards social media. I think the biggest thing is that the case sponsor, you know, kind of gets a lot of it out. They're doing some small social media, but what they're able to get from the students is actual strategies from 8 teams. We want to make sure that the case sponsor can get something that they can take back to their company and actually use.
The educational opportunity, the people you'll meet, you know, like there's business owners here, there's sponsors here. It's a really cool opportunity for students because it's unheard of anywhere else in the nation. And this is where education is heading.
Okay, we're back. And if you're interested in CADMA and what they're doing at Ball State, give us a shout. Either post into the live stream or give us a shout over at Edge Media and Site Strategics. And we'll be certainly happy to bring you some additional information. They're doing a fantastic job up there. And we love our new relationship with Ball State. All right. Hey, I want to continue the empowerment journey that we're doing here today. And I want to introduce to you a friend of the show, Lisa Mitchell, people reader and founder of Power Body Language. Lisa,
hi.
How are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Very good.
Good.
I tell you what, it was incredible meeting you at the Verge event a couple times back. And
yeah, we rocked it out at the Hi-Fi that night.
We really did.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun. Now, did you bring your turntable today with you?
I did not. No, I've retired from that game a little bit, like 20 years ago or so.
So, for the watchers and listeners, you literally were a DJ at one point in time.
I was, yeah.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
I know, right? I was so bad at it, but I tried. I really tried.
Oh, as long as you owned it,
yeah. It was a short-lived career. It was not really my wheelhouse, per se. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, before we get started, tell us, what can you glean about us simply from nonverbal communication? Wait, I'm supposed to ask that question?
Yes. Hmm. And then you're supposed to pose.
Well, like just the current snapshot or since evidently. I've been here observing you or...
I think more observational. I mean,
telling me right now, if I'm looking just at proxemics or the use of space, you're actually slanted away from me, which would tell me that maybe you're a little put off by me or a little afraid of me.
Good start. Strong start.
Not usually exactly the vibe I'm going for beginning.
Right.
Now leaning in is showing me a higher level of engagement. It's showing me a little bit of warmth, which I appreciate.
No problem.
Makes me think maybe I'm okay and I'm going to make it through the segment. So
exactly the message I wanted to send. Very good.
Let's hope that's true. Yeah.
Excellent. So you read body language. And you also train to be able to professionals to understand body language and be able to interpret it and be able to act upon those observations.
Yeah, so I'm the people reader is how I'm kind of known, and I love it. I have been, you know, thinking back to the last segment as far as being empowered.
Right.
There's really no way to feel as empowered as when you're really clued in. When you're clued in and you feel like, okay, I know how I'm managing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to read other people with a high level of accuracy,
right.
Your confidence goes through the roof. It really is like the superpower that's universally acceptable.
Yep.
And it's accessible to everyone, whether it's, you know, third graders or CEOs. Everybody can learn it. Everybody can use it. Everybody can level up with it. So it's really a win.
So there's got to be a confirmation, and not just affirmation, but confirmation. As you read somebody that you're getting it right, because I mean, so many times anybody can watch behavior and surmise, okay, that's what's going on. Or that's what they're broadcasting, because everybody with exceptions will be able to understand that, okay, there's certain ways that you should present yourself in an interview or in different environments, non-professional and professional.
Right.
But to have confirmation that's actually what you're translating.
Exactly. There's a lot of my friend and fellow trainer Scott Rouse likes to call it the body language Frankenstein, because we've all kind of gathered or gleaned these little tips that we think are accurate or correct,
right?
Through the years or through our own kind of assumptions. And that's dangerous. It's really dangerous when you're thinking you know what you're doing if you don't have a good set of filters to kind of test the accuracy of your assumptions.
Okay.
So with body language, there's a couple of filters that we like to use to just crystallize what we're seeing and confirm our assumptions. And mm-hmm. One of the biggest ones is context.
Mm-hmm.
So that's widening your lens.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a behavior or you see a cue, you instantly widen your lens and say, okay, what else could be contributing to that?
Got it.
You know, for instance, if someone crosses their arms, Okay, this could be a cue that they're distancing, or right. you've said something that they don't like.
Right, right,
but
right.
if you've talked to that person 30 times, and every time you talk to them, they have their arms crossed, mm-hmm. they're consistent, and the context is kind of normal for that person. Or if it's 50 degrees in a conference room,
they could be cold,
and
right.
you're freezing, they're trying to just preserve body heat. They're right. totally open to what you're saying.
Exactly.
But if you don't widen your lens and look at what other contributing factors there are, you could really be missing something. So there's five C's, we call them, are our filters. So context is one. Mm-hmm. Understanding cross-cultural implications is another one,
absolutely.
Because
wow.
different behaviors manifest differently or are accepted differently across cultural norms.
Right.
And then there's consistency, again, kind of with the arms crossing. What's normal for that person?
What's their baseline that they're actually... Okay,
right,
got
because
it.
We're looking for variance as kind of our trigger.
Right.
And then we're also looking for clusters. So we humans love to like not just tell you that, for instance, we're angry mm-hmm. in one way. We're going to give you like three or four different displays that tell you I'm angry. So you might get an anger micro expression, you
right.
know, eyes narrowed, mouth set in a line. You may get arms crossed.
Right.
You're probably going to get a lean back or maybe a turn away. And then you may get an additional blocking or distancing behavior. So people really amplify.
Huh.
Their emotions. So you're looking for additional evidence.
So the subconscious psyche is really trying to message in a lot of different ways.
Exactly.
Because they can't trust that one's getting across.
Exactly. Our bodies are super honest.
Yep.
So they're always telling on us. Always telling on us. Now we as adults fear judgment.
Right.
So we've developed some countermeasures. Like, for instance, micro expressions are intense flashes of emotion that show on your face in reaction to a mm-hmm. stimulus, something
sure.
someone says or does.
Right.
But a lot of times it's like, oh, we don't want to go there. Like, we don't want to own that we're angry. We don't want to own that we're, you know, that we have contempt about something. So it flashes and then we neutralize it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put an alternative expression on our face that doesn't lead us into...
It's
a conversation that we don't want to have, right?
Right.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
We do it with family members. We do it in a business context. We do it. We're so trained to avoid conflict or to not own what we feel. Like,
right.
that's the beauty of kids, right? Kids don't care. There's
right.
no micro expression with kids. Like, they sit in it and they stew in it and they own it.
And yes, they do.
They don't even care about the fallout, right? They're very honest.
Right.
But we don't. For whatever reason, give ourselves the luxury to present quite as fully as kids do when it comes to.
Well, because you're measuring the situation all the time.
Exactly.
And you're measuring, and on top of that, it's almost like a billiard game. If you have multiple people that you're actually having to work off of, right?
Yeah.
You've got to see how what you just said affected that person and then pay attention to how they're affecting themselves. I mean, your observational mode can go into overtime very, very, very quickly.
It really can. And the really challenging part about that is that we can only control what's outbound, but we don't know the lens that the person who's receiving us is seeing us through.
Hmm.
Right? So we don't know, okay, maybe they just got a speeding ticket on their way to that meeting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or maybe they just, you know, their cat ran away, or maybe, you know, they're experiencing you through a filter that you have no idea about and no control over. So
would you recommend people just kind of unpack their baggage right there to make sure that everybody understands?
Maybe.
This is what happened to me this week before we get into this meeting.
And as a child, no.
Right. Well, maybe not to that extent. But the best kind of defense against that is to just be really, really strategic and intentional about how you're showing up. And how you're communicating.
Right.
So don't
be as clear as possible.
Right. Don't leave a lot of room for interpretation.
Right.
If you assume that when you walk in a room, someone's going to read you, they're going to perceive you exactly how you intend.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Huh.
Right. Like it doesn't happen unless you walk in intentionally. Unless
right.
you walk in to convey the message very clearly, exactly how you should be received.
Right.
Then it's a crapshoot. They're going to receive you in whatever frame of mind that they're in, and good luck.
So you give great instructions about how to prepare for any type of meeting, but there's also different styles and different social context.
Right.
But I think with our conversation that we had a while back, you were actually talking about just clearing your mind, clearing your space as you're about to go into a conference room and making sure that you're dialed into exactly how you want to present.
Exactly. Yeah. So people start reading you. from a first impression standpoint, and keeping in mind that first impression doesn't necessarily mean the first time you meet someone. Right. It can be as you're walking into a situation fresh, or as you're walking into a particular meeting, you're creating that impression.
Right.
And our first impressions start the moment we're seen, not the moment we open our mouth.
Yeah.
So a lot of people make the mistake.
He chuckles.
That's true.
Guilty?
Yeah, absolutely. Guilty? Absolutely.
Yeah, so you have to keep in mind to be on before you're on, because yeah. your first impression could be made in the parking lot. Your first impression could be made in a hallway, in a restroom, in a conference area before a meeting or an event.
Right.
There are people seeing you and sizing you up. How many seconds do you think it takes to make a first impression?
Less than a second.
It's 7 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, goldfish will engage with you for 9 before they decide if they want to swim away or continue to engage. Humans only give you 7 seconds. And they're deciding some pretty important things in that 7 seconds.
What does that say about me?
You're like,
so
yeah,
much.
Nah, not even a
Done.
Thing.
That you're gone before you get there, really. Is
Holy
what
crap.
That
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't even bother showing up.
Yeah, just
I'm
don't.
I'm sorry.
Just
keep
don't.
On going.
Yeah, just shuffle,
so you got 7 seconds.
Back out the door.
Let's go for the goldfish 9 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll say 7 seconds. We'll be generous humans here. And people are deciding a few things about you. And in that 7 seconds, they're deciding if you're a friend.
Right.
Or someone that they feel connected with or want to pursue. They're deciding if you're potentially a threat, like someone that would trigger their fight, flight, or freeze reflex, like limbic brain. Or worst of all, you're neutral. You're lost in gray space. Like, they aren't even really aware.
You're beige.
You don't register.
Yeah.
Right? That's horrible. You do not want to be neutral. You do not want to be gray space on somebody's interpersonal radar.
Wow.
I would rather have somebody perceive me initially as a threat and right. win them over
right.
than to just, like, not even be a blip. To just you know, fade into the wallpaper. Yeah, no thanks.
Mm.
Right? That's a tough spot to be in. So you combat that going back to, like, walk before you walk into a meeting by being really intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do I want out of this interaction? So what's your objective? Mm-hmm. And then how do I want to be perceived? So take 5 seconds, run those two ideas past yourself. So if you want to come in and be seen as highly confident and competent, right? You would go in high power, high status body language. So you'd have your head up, you'd right. have your shoulders open. You wouldn't be protective around your midsection or carrying anything. Eye contact, acknowledgement, engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would be on when you walked in that room. People read your entrance very easily. And
Absolutely.
If your face is in your cell phone, that's the quickest way to put yourself in low power body
Absolutely.
Position. People perceive you as lacking confidence when your head is down and your shoulders are rolled in. That's a default position for so many people now.
Oh,
right.
We have our
adult pacifiers, right? Like, we're not walking around with binkies or blankets anymore, but we have our adult pacifiers.
I remember our conversation.
Right,
we talked about that.
Right. It's kind of my thing now, because you can't not see it. So it's being mindful of, okay, do I want to be read as high power or low power,
right.
high status or low status? And it's so easy. It's so easy to be perceived as high confidence if you take 5 seconds, get intentional, and mm-hmm. walk into the room, make an entrance. Now, you may want to, in certain situations like negotiations, you may want to appear
right.
low power, low status.
Deal the game right
there. So you walk in wandering around, you don't make eye contact, you kind of slide into your seat. And then you flip it on them and they never see it coming, right?
So
you show your cards at the end.
Right. So you can be intentional. They're tools for you to use.
Right.
And you can use, there's no right or wrong with body language. There's just kind of an ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideal varies a lot of times based on what's your objective.
What's your goal.
Right.
So I'm getting to the point, starting in a perspective of knowing what your goal is, right? Because
right.
I do want to double back around to that that social media, not social media, no offense.
Adult pacifier.
Yeah, because I want to talk further on that. But knowing that you've got a goal, right? The tendency to overcompensate with just an explosive entrance, right?
Right.
With jazz hands and everything,
yeah.
right?
Who do you hang out with? Who do you hang out with that walks into a room with jazz hands?
Some very colorful people around here, okay?
I've seen it.
Reevaluate your environment.
But I mean, you've seen that happen
right.
where it's not a baseline plus is a baseline plus, 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 plus. Just make sure that we're getting the point across. And that can be as off-putting, if not more so.
Exactly.
That they're trying to manipulate the situation.
Right. And that's kind of underestimating whoever's on the other side of your face.
Right.
Like, if you take on that persona, then you're basically assuming that the person on the other side of your face is completely unaware or stupid.
Right.
So not only are you inauthentic, but then you're condescending too.
Exactly.
So you're actually, what you may be doing with the intention of bolstering yourself or appearing more confident is actually, it's actually degrading the way people are perceiving you, because it's reading as inauthentic. People pick up on false and inauthentic so fast.
Right.
Like, people pick up on fake happy versus real happy, like, split second.
Right.
Like, they sort that stuff out, and it doesn't just put you back to neutral as if you'd never done it. It puts you in the negative. Right.
Absolutely.
So there's so much. You have to really kind of measure your approach to how you use these tools, because it's like, you know, if it's the old handshakes create oxytocin, right? So if we shake hands with one hand and skin contact gets oxytocin, well, what if I cover your hand?
Right.
If I encompass your hand, well, that's a bonus for me. You're going to like me more.
Right.
But it's perceived by the person on the receiving end, depending on the context, as being
controlling,
aggressive,
alpha male, or controlling, or intrusive. So you have to always think, how will this? I know what my intention is, but how will this be perceived by the person I'm interacting with?
That's very interesting, because I come from a martial arts background, and doing that with your instructor is not alpha. It actually shows respect.
Context.
Exactly.
Right?
Full context.
Our filter. So our filter, the context of martial arts makes this completely standard and customary.
Right.
So you wouldn't perceive that as offensive in that context. So that's why the filters of how we decide how we feel about interaction, that filter piece of it, of context, is so important. It factors into almost every single interaction that we have.
You're absolutely correct. Coming back around to this pacifier concept, right?
Right.
We are in, sociologically, a new space that we've never been in before. Technology and the immersive technology is all around us, and the level of distraction is unbelievable, unbearable sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And the chaos has to be tamped down. And the device utilization and dependency. Now, you know, we talked about Simon Sinek at one point in time here, a couple shows back, that Simon Sinek video where they were talking about, he was talking about just the connection that millennials have to their devices.
Right.
And I don't want to be like an old stodgy here, but the point is,
kids these days.
I know!
Millennials.
No. Point is that there is a direct connection to dopamine with the type of likes and the texting that we get. Right? There is an affirmation there.
We're trading opportunities for oxytocin for dopamine.
Exactly.
Like, we're trading one vice for another. So instead of getting connection through eye contact creates oxytocin, handshakes create oxytocin. Instead of getting
that's that emotional connection
and getting those connections, those authentic connections,
you get the dopamine addiction.
Right, we're getting substitute connections.
Right. And so in that space, there is such a need for kind of a reorientation of understanding of body language, understanding of how to read, but also how to realize that what you're doing in a business meeting, you're literally getting a dopamine injection at the expense of the actual communication you're trying to have in that room with somebody else.
Exactly. And your credibility goes down, your charisma goes down. All of those things that help you get what you want in business and help you get the contracts you want, the deals you want, the partnerships you're looking for.
Right.
You're acting against yourself.
Absolutely.
By not maximizing your opportunity to build those connections through eye contact, handshakes, engagement, active listening cues.
Right.
It's
self-sabotage.
It really is.
You're working against yourself.
Sure.
So from a level of self-awareness, I mean, this is obviously imperative for young professionals to understand these spaces, because we're not teaching, we've never taught body language in schools,
no,
right?
There's no soft skills in schools. It's infuriating.
It is, and it's come, you know, in different, the education has come in different ways, and there's been a lot of thought leaders and innovators in this space to be able to help instruct this, but we are giving our children an inherent disadvantage right out of the gate because of all these sociological, these chemical addictions that we're creating from these wants for likes, wants for texts, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Where do you see that we could actually go to be able to start creating new re-education? Because I'm really seeing there needs to be almost a reorientation right out of the gate.
Right.
Well, as early as possible. But
well, and a lot of those behaviors are driven because there's a lack or a need. Right. Like there's something that some sort of validation that these children aren't having. There's some sort of inherent self-confidence that they right. don't have because they haven't been fed it and they haven't found out how to receive it. So they have this like substitute validation right. that they've gone to. Right.
right.
So the best thing you could do is at a very early age, empower children to understand
mm-hmm.
how they're connecting and what it looks like when someone else connects with them genuinely face to face connection. So reading, like my daughter is 11. And she comes to stuff with me all the time, and she knows all the micro expressions.
Oh, wow.
And she's got, I have an app called Face-A-Rama that's like a training and a practice, like flashcards, but they get faster the better you get. She's got it on level 28. I can't even see the expressions change. They're
wow.
that fast now. And she's like, oh, that's content. That's fake happy. That's real happy. That's,
oh, my.
Right? Nobody stands a chance with this girl. She could train my material. Like yeah, she's that engaged in it. But
she's gonna work
but
it.
She is frustrated. She's frustrated because she can't find people to connect with
on her level.
So wow. she's more comfortable with adults and with older kids
yep.
because she can have a conversation. She understands what expressions she's seeing.
Right.
There's a level of engagement there. And she's as much into her iPad and her, you know, device and games as anybody else. Don't let me fool you there. It's not a substitute, but at least it's an additional skill set that she has.
Sure.
And is comfortable. She's comfortable using it. She feels confident. And that's really what it is. It's just practicing and having the awareness so you feel confident in using it.
Right.
We shy away and we fear attempting things that we don't feel like we've mastered. So it's really how do we give a simple set of tools that can be easily mastered at any age? That it is at least a common language
yep.
that kids can connect with and understand. You know, it's really a difficult gap to bridge. It really is.
It absolutely is. But what an advantage that you're giving your children if you actually start teaching them these additional skills
right.
at a young age.
Right. And I think like.
And it's not for manipulation. It's just for understanding
and
knowledge of the context that they're in. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so I think the biggest thing it's given my daughter in particular is she's got a higher level of empathy. Like, she's really clued in. If we have, you know, if we're checking out at Target
right.
and she sees the cashier flash a micro expression, she's like, oh, I think she's sad about something, or I think she's, you know, angry about something, or, oh, did you see that guy flash the anger micro expression when she said this or did that? Like, she's observing it in the wild.
Wow.
And honing those skills. And she's digging into these interpersonal relationships. You know, like, she's clued in and empathetic. So if she sees someone that she sees sadness in,
right,
she offers support. Like, her empathy is, I know what I'm seeing. I know what it means, and then I know how to respond in a way that helps that person feel seen, heard, and valued. And when
right.
you can make people feel seen, heard, and valued, everything you want gets easier.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that'll influence every relationship she has from now until the end of time.
Right.
Really being able to tap into that, to flex those muscles now and to get those muscles really strong now.
Right. Now,
every boyfriend, every friend, every engagement.
I mean, yeah.
everyone is just in,
well, and as
in
her,
for a treat
as
with her.
Her mother. She is now the walking embodiment of accountability because she sees everything on my face
yeah.
and calls me out on
She'll
things.
Measure you real quick.
Yes.
Wow. See,
right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not gonna train my kids on that because I need to be able to control.
Yeah, well, now I'm on to like statement analysis and other forms of detection. So I'm like, don't even try to talk your way out of anything because I'll know when you're using bridge words and omitting information. And she's like, Mom, I can't even be a teenager ever. That's
wow.
part of the gig. Yeah, so it's like
bridge words. Look it up later.
Yeah, it's like full blown psychological warfare in my
Love
house
it.
Now. Like, there's
wow.
intelligence and counterintelligence happening at high rates.
Lord Almighty, psychoanalysis and warfare right there.
Love it.
So I mean, to that point, we're in this environment now where You're seeing more and more needs in society, in professional execution, and it just gives you such an additional level of advantage. How are you getting the word out? How are you helping be able to coach individuals to be able to empower themselves with these skills?
Yeah, well, I love the corporate training environment, mm-hmm. and a lot of times my strategy and what I've had success in doing is kind of starting at the executive level leadership, because mm-hmm. they kind of set the temperature for the organization. So I kind of go in and show them how it makes them more influential and how it helps negotiations go better and gives them a deeper level of understanding and connection with their teams. Mm-hmm. And then usually we'll then go on to do departmental training and really try to blanket the organization with a common language. Like, not everyone is going to master everything, but right. at least you kind of know, oh, micro expressions are a thing and they tell us important information.
Absolutely.
As a manager, it lets me respond in a positive way. So organizational level awareness, I think, is really, really huge. And then I also do executive coaching. So one-on-one for leaders that are mindful and want to set that tone in their organization, or if they're looking mm-hmm. to transition or maybe feel like they're stuck on something,
right.
Or have a particular event that they're working on, or public speaking, you know, things that people would rather die than speak in public. Statistics show us like yep. that's the biggest fear most people have.
Absolutely.
So there's really just easy ways to adopt these skills and help people master these and level up as far as communication and leadership and influence. Those are really the three areas that I train on a lot. And
fantastic.
Then I'm rolling out some really new exciting projects as the people reader. So you're going to basically be able to read people and, you know, make millions and getting everything that you want that much easier, because until you can create influence, until you can get invited into those meetings, mm-hmm. until you can master negotiations, mm-hmm. that's not available to
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right?
So by opening the door and understanding these skill sets and mastering them, what can't you do?
Oh, it's fantastic. So you have a book coming out soon.
I do.
That's one of the projects that you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, I have a book. I have a course. It's the Read People and Make Millions will be the brand for both of those.
That's a pretty good title there.
Yeah, because it's
got a ring to it.
It's yep. cause and effect. You know, that's how it happens. It's an uphill, if not impossible, battle without these skills.
Can I jump in with a question? I've been dying to ask her, and I know yep. you know it's coming.
All righty, go ahead.
Everyone
go ahead.
Knows what's coming. Resting bitch face.
There it is.
You've spoken on it before, and I'd like for you to speak on it again, because not only is it an epidemic, I believe, it's also something that, like, girl to girl, we need to be able to tell each other, I appreciate you. I am sorry you're upset at work. I think it might be because you have resting bitch face. So if you could speak on that, what we can do, how we can help each other, and how we can help ourselves.
Yeah, well, resting bitch face is really, it's kind of
just the name. No other name, just that. All right.
Well, and it's kind of an unfortunate default facial expression, right? So it's not something that people are intentionally putting on their face. And I'm not going to do it because it's not a good look for me. But if you let your face, your muscular structure,
I can do
your
it.
Face
do you want
go,
me to do it?
Go completely slack.
Okay, go ahead. Do your bitch face, Brittany.
Right. Right. That's impressive. That's convincing. That's convincing.
31 years. Thank you.
Right. You're a master. Master level bitch face. Congratulations. There
wow,
should be
you're
a
gonna,
sticker or something
there's
for
there's
that.
So many great wave files here. You're going to have to use one of these for a ringtone.
That's my LinkedIn picture from now on.
Yeah. Well, it's something I think and women far more often than men are addressed as having this problem, although Kanye West is like the male poster child.
You're going to be in a Twitter brawl now.
Right. Well,
throwing him in.
I'm only, you know, his claim to that is it's intentional because you don't see portraits of kings with smiles on their faces. Okay. That's, so that's his thing.
That's so deep.
Mad love for you, Kanye. Do your thing.
Whatever.
But for other people, you know, like some celebrities that have kind of embraced it or have a high level of awareness are like Anna Kendrick. Anna Kendrick is from the Pitch Perfect movies. She's the poster child for celebrity RBF. But she knows it, and so she kind of makes a joke about it. Like, she'll make montages of all of her RBF shots, you know. Wow. She's
also so outgoing and lovely and bubbly.
Right.
So it doesn't
suit her, right?
Right.
It's so counterintuitive to what you think of when you think of her as a person and then you see a photograph of her.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people fall into that same category. It's not representative at all of who they authentically are or how they show up. But people perceive, remember we're talking about how you intend to be versus how you are perceived.
Right.
People perceive you to be upset, to be angry, or to have some sort of disdain.
Resentment.
Or, right, yeah, all of those right, right. Some sort of disdain. It's not a positive connotation that comes with RBF. So there is help. Right.
And it's, love it. He loves RBF.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
And it's not one of the most condescending, insulting things you can say to somebody who's prone to RBF is,
why don't you smile?
You should
more.
Smile more. Mm-hmm. Or why are you upset? Is everything okay? Like, people with RBF are so over
happiest
that.
Or happy girls are the prettiest girls.
Yeah. They're so over that. God. Don't ever.
I mean, you've heard that, right?
Yes. Don't ever tell a girl to smile. Like, just don't. It's so rude. And it won't get you a smile. No. That's the funny thing. You never get the immediate smile. If you do, it's like, I want to kill you under their breath right. while they're doing it. But wow. The best thing you can do is just, again, once you're aware of it, is practice a new, comfortable, neutral facial expression. Yes. And I mean, stand in front of the mirror and fix your face until it looks pleasant.
Rework it.
Remember it. What that feels like. And then put that on when you go neutral. If you care. If you don't care, rock your RBF. Like, you don't need to apologize to anybody. Your face is your face.
Just own it.
But if you care, if you care about how you're perceived in a right. certain, even just in a certain context, then go to your new default facial expression that's a little more pleasant.
Love it.
Yeah. It's just awareness and being intentional with how you're perceived.
So, public service announcement, you need to be aware of your bitch face.
Resting bitch face.
Oh, sorry. The resting
bitch face is separate.
Right. Sorry. Bitch face is an entirely different show.
I just had to throw that one out there. Sorry. Hey, you also have a podcast as well. What can listeners expect from that and how can we find it?
Well, so I have two podcasts because why wouldn't I, right? So I have The Shiny Things with Lisa Mitchell, which is focused, this season is focused on digital dating, mm-hmm. And how we can use body language and nonverbal communication to create a higher level of success, or if not success, at least awareness mm-hmm. in the digital mm-hmm. dating landscape. I have some great experts. Vanessa Van Edwards was on the episode that launched today, and I have had Duana Welch, who's a scientist that wrote a book called Love Factually that breaks love down by scientific and statistical measures.
Huh. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, super interesting. This season was completely self-serving. As someone who's in this market and have been way too long.
It was just like, you having fun.
It's just me figuring my life out and sharing it with other people, which I'm always happy to do. And then People Reading with Lisa Mitchell is launching at the end of May. And that's going to be more business focused, more corporate minded. And it's going to be, how do you use the things we've talked about today? How do you use body language to create power, influence, and the outcomes that you're looking for?
Excellent. By the way, you've been using jazz hands a little while here.
I've been using explanatory gestures. I only used jazz hands once, and it was to mock you.
Well, there we go.
So there.
I've had my first mocking from a guest on the show.
The mock off.
The mock off, exactly. So they can find you as I usher you out of the studio now. They can find you on Facebook at Power Body Language.
Yes.
On Twitter, that's Lisa Mitch L, right?
Right.
Instagram, right. The People Reader.
Yeah.
And LinkedIn is Lisa Mitch L as well.
Lisa Mitchell, yeah.
All right.
There's some crazy Australian pop star that took my Lisa Mitchell.
How
real
dare
estate,
she?
So I know.
I bet she has a resting bitch face.
She probably
too.
Does.
Are we counting how many? I mean, do we have a betting pool here?
I didn't start this conversation, let the record show.
And I did ask for permission.
Yep, so. yep, absolutely. Okay, so check out Lisa over at her website at powerbodylanguage.com. I wanted to ask you real quick. You do coaching for individuals, but do you also coach for groups as well?
I do. Corporate training is my jam. I work with all different sizes of organizations. I do everything from pharmaceuticals to legal to CPA firms wow. to energy companies. It fits everywhere. If you have people, if you want to make money,
yep,
I can help you. Like, those are the requirements. You have people, you run a business, you want to make money.
You
can benefit
Mitchell.
from what I'm doing.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and then I also do keynote, some non-traditional keynote. Mine are slightly more interactive than most people are prepared for, which is amazingly fun for me to stand in the front and watch.
You make people very uncomfortable.
Do you judge
you?
People?
I don't judge people.
Do you call people out?
No.
Oh, you should do that.
I like to highlight the things being done right.
Okay.
And I like to commend people when they show growth. So I won't tell them that they started somewhere they shouldn't be, but I sure do celebrate when they get somewhere that benefits them.
That's probably fantastic. A better approach.
Yeah,
good, good thinking.
So far. Nobody's punched me yet, so... Yet.
Yeah. Yeah, you haven't met Nate yet. All right. So, final tips, some thoughts to give to our watchers and listeners of just how to be self-aware and starting to pay attention to your own body language.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is awareness that you have control over it, mm-hmm. and don't leave your first impression to chance. Be intentional. Think about how you want people to perceive you, and then fix yourself to walk in a way that makes it really, really easy for them to decode you exactly as you intend.
Could we say be strategic?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Let's all say that together.
No, you're welcome.
Be strategic. See, there it is. That's wonderful. That sounded so good. That was self-serving.
That was awesome. I'm happy to play right into your master plan.
That's assuming I've got a master plan, which I do. All right. Thanks so much for everybody. What a great show. We hope everyone feels out there feels empowered and ready to conquer whatever may lie ahead. So please get in contact with Dress for Success as well as Lisa Mitchell. If you need these type of services and skills, and who doesn't? I mean, we need to be able to have that level of empowerment and self-awareness. So we'd like to thank our guests again, Andrew Cowley of Dress for Success Indianapolis and Lisa Mitchell of Power Body Language. Thank you so much for watching and listening. And remember, sharing is caring. So come on, let's give this show some lift out there and share with your friends and family. All right, choose local and choose local in Indianapolis on a regular basis. Until next time, this was Edge of Indy. Thank you so much, and we'll return next week. Bye-bye.